Welcome to another episode of the Ironworks Podcast. This is a collaboration between Ironworks and the Scattered Abroad Network. We're happy to be here today. We're now season three, which is coinciding with chapter three in the Conform to Transform book. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I said season three. I meant season one, episode three. There we go.
Yeah.
And but let's talk about a couple of things that we have going on right now that I think people would like to be aware of as we move forward. One thing that we've got going on right now, we're about to all be going to the Memphis School of Preaching lectures. Everybody on the Scattered Abroad Network has ties to Memphis, and so we're going to go to that. Most everybody, I think, is going to be there. Before we get there, we wanted to make sure that you knew what was going on. Ironworks has just released another book. This is a book by Ryan R.D. Beavers here, and the book is called, here, go ahead and hold that up for us. It is called The Grace to Be Worthy. Make sure you can see past the microphone there. The Grace to Be Worthy. This is Character Studies of Holy Women. And so this is not a, you know, if you remember, there's a Courage book in association with men. And now we have The Grace to Be Worthy in association with women. These are not specifically made for, you know, men and women just individually, right?
Yeah, this is not exclusively a women's book, but it is a book about women. And the same thing with The Courage to Be Holy, not a men's book, but a book about men. We would encourage both sexes to read these books because they give the biblical examples that all men and all women should achieve and all should look for in a mate as well.
Right. So that is already out. You can get it on Amazon. Kind of some interesting things have happened, I guess, since our last episode. We now have a website that is still in the process of really coming together, but we have some content already on it. We have a blog that we're switching over to our website now, and you can go to ironworkspress.org, and you can see some of that. We're going to have links to our books that you can, you know, purchase. And we also have a way that you can purchase our books in bulk, as you do get a discount when you do that. And we've had several congregations that have reached out and done that in the past with various books. And so if you would like to do that and you want a cheaper rate, we can give that to you. Just contact us through the website. And we're going to have more information coming with that. But as this airs, it's going to be the day before the Memphis School of Preaching lectures. And we're excited to be there, but if you're going to be there, come and check out. We'll have a table there, and you can purchase this book and any of our other books that we have. The book that we're currently talking about is the Conform to Transform book. We've been studying through it. Hopefully, you have now gotten one. This is, again, we're in addition to what is in the book. You know, there's a lot of things that don't make it into a book. You cut things out. There have been times where I know that when we were writing this book, that there was one chapter, I can't remember which one it was, there's one chapter that I probably wrote 1,500 words on, only to delete all 1,500 words and start over. I was just like, no, I don't I don't like this. I don't like the way it's going. There are things that we just don't put in here because it doesn't fit what we're looking for. It doesn't fit the length of what we're looking to do. And maybe it is sometimes what we'll do with next month. Sometimes there are things that you don't put in there because, you know, people aren't, you know, they need to get the introductory stuff first before they can get into more of the nitty gritty. So today we are talking about gossip. And we try to split our work down the middle as much as possible. In this chapter, I think I basically just wrote the intro to this. Ryan wrote most of this, and we tried to keep it this way where we're kind of balancing the workload even on this podcast.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be asking Ryan some questions. We're not even going to go over the intro because, you know what, you got to read something, right? And we got a lot of stuff extra that we don't have in this chapter that we're going to bring out today. So let's talk about this first section a little bit. A gossip, slanders. What do you got for us, Ryan?
Okay, for this section of the chapter, I first mentioned Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, which reads, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." You know, I love the fact that in the book of Leviticus, God speaks so directly so many times. And so many times you'll read, "The Lord said unto Moses," or "I am Jehovah." So on and so forth happens repeatedly. In this particular instance, he says, don't be a talebearer. So a talebearer is one that is going to go about and seek to slander. In fact, that's the actual word we find in the Hebrew, is to be a slanderer. And this person will go about and find the juiciest bit of gossip, is what I said, and look for someone else to tell it to. You ever been in a situation where you are the recipient of such information?
Yeah, and sometimes I'm kind of like, why are you giving it to me? Because I really don't even care, but some people do. They just kind of get this this mentality of, I know something, and I know something that probably you don't, and I want to tell it to you. And so when it's about like somebody else's life, you know, it gets juicier, you know.
Right, yeah. And I think it's something similar to what we talked about when we discussed lying. You know, it's one of those things that holds over from when we weren't Christians. Maybe you were accustomed to being a person that was always telling the story. And in fact, in our society, it's kind of rewarded. There are people that have news networks and magazines in the aisle at the grocery store that are totally focused on gossip, right?
Right.
So it reaches us and it gets into our minds, and sometimes we forget that that's not who we are called to be. That's not what the Lord was concerned with telling Jewish recipients of the book of Leviticus, certainly. And it's something that we need to avoid, not slandering our brother, because slander, we would define that as speaking something that is not true about someone, right? It is saying something that is sought to defame them and to make them look less in the eyes of the person who's receiving the information. So like you said, you know, if someone were to come to you, you'd be like, why are you telling me this? Like, why is it important for me to know? How do you stop that?
Yeah, you know, I think what you got to do is you got to think about it, because this is one of those things that it's really easy to get sucked into. Because like you may be thinking, okay, there's a point to this. You know, I'm listening, I'm waiting for the point. And then you come out to the end and realize, oh, there was no point, you know. There might be a good reason, like if somebody's coming and talking to you and saying, you know, this, like, you know, for instance, let's say someone sinned, you know. Mm-hmm. Matthew 18 tells us we need to go and talk to them. And then maybe it is that, you know, they're not listening, so we need to take somebody with us as witness, you know.
Right.
And you could even be thinking, maybe it is that I am that person, that I need to be going with this person. Mm-hmm. And they could be talking to you and you go, okay, well, oh, I realize now that you're just telling me this. I think probably as a preacher, this happens to me the most with the elders.
Mm.
And I'm sure we'll get back to that later on. But, I have had a policy for a long time, and I ask every eldership that I've been a part of, you know, under, I would say, to give me the same respect. I'll say, I won't allow that with mm-hmm. you. I won't allow for someone to talk bad about you. Please don't let them do that to me too, you know. And but that, like, when you have someone else's interest at heart, mm-hmm. you know, even somebody that you may not care for that much, if you have their interest at heart, you're not going to participate,
right?
You know, you're not going to give in to this, because this is not something that you need to do. Now, if you see all of a sudden that oh yeah, I got sucked into this. I didn't realize it. You need to actually, what you need to do is you need to call them out on it. Mm-hmm. Really what you got to do. You got to say, okay, well, I did not need to know this information. And this is what I do, especially with when it comes to brethren, you know, like you may not have any choice in the matter when it comes to people of the world. You can't really get onto them and hold them to the standard of the scriptures. But with brethren, I'll say, well, listen, I'll be glad to go and with you and talk to them about that if you'd like, you know, because you need to go talk to them.
And that's what it does. It calls their mind back to the scripture and what Christ requires of us. And like you said in Matthew 18, 15 and following. And that's how we can stop that, mm-hmm. is we answer with pointing people in the right direction of the scripture. They may have came with misguided intentions, we would say. In the best case scenario, maybe it's just misguided. Maybe they just didn't think about it when they in the way that they came across to you, and maybe they just need to be pointed gently, nurtured back to what needs to happen for the sake of that brother who they came to talk about, or that sister they came to talk about, right?
Right. Which I think is what your next section is, right? You know, talking about what happens when the New Testament Christian gets involved in tale-bearing. So what do you got for us there? I know we kind of mentioned some things already in Matthew 18.
And part of a Christian, part of our Christian life is to, in a way, have discretion as well, right? Proverbs, the book of Proverbs 11:13 says this: a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So a talebearer may have heard something in confidence. They may have had a discussion with someone, a brother or a sister, who came to them in confidence and revealed something that's going on in their life, something that's happening to them, and sought maybe prayer, maybe advice, maybe help with that situation. But the Bible tells us here that a talebearer, one that would also be defined as a slanderer, betrays that confidence by going and telling someone else. Now let's be honest. We made this point in the book that this is not to say that we conceal public sin. We're not doing that. But if a sin, the difference between a public and a private sin, what is that, Matt? We talked about this in another podcast, I believe.
Yeah. So a public sin is one that everybody knows about. You know, I can remember. Growing up, there's a couple of times where, you know, either a congregation I was associated with or a congregation I knew of had this problem. But a young woman in the congregation got pregnant. And, man, you know, it doesn't get much more public than that. I mean, at some point, she starts showing she's not married. You know, questions are being asked, you know. Yeah. So that's pretty public. A private sin is usually something that, you know, very few people, maybe even nobody knows about.
Right.
You know?
And the difference we see there is, you know, the instance you gave, it brought reproach upon the entire church, the entire congregation that you're a part of, and to the brotherhood at large at times when that becomes prevalent. I mean, we look at the letter, or the first letter to the Corinthians, and we look at chapter 5, they were glorying in the things, and Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has to correct many things, and he gets to the point where he says, your glory is not good.
Yeah.
You got to make it right. But a private sin, it might be something that, you know, one of us has committed. You know, maybe a brother is struggling with a sin that comes back. He repents, and then he returns to it. He repents, he returns to it. And he might come to you as a source of, or as someone in seeking confidence with a discussion, because it's not affecting, you know, someone else. It's not affecting the public, certainly, and it's not bringing reproach upon the church, because no one knows about it, right? But when you take it and you say, and what was brought to you in private, and you make it public, well, this is exactly the kind of thing that the Lord is speaking against in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere in the scripture. One thing that I liked about this was, you know, something that came to my mind when I wrote this was the propaganda statement by the United States during World War II: loose lips sink ships, right?
Yeah.
And we think about that when it applies to the church, that when we come and we speak loosely about things that are supposed to be held privately, right, we might reveal a weakness that doesn't need to be known, a weakness that a brother or a sister has come to you and has sought help with, and you might make it even worse about for them in getting out of it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You could make things terrible for that person. And also the church. I did know of an instance where somebody was talking about a private, you know, matter in the church, and they were trying to be vague about it. And there were some people there that weren't Christians, but they were just being very vague about all this stuff and saying this was like kind of generally a bad thing that happened. And then someone goes, oh, you mean, and then pointed out the congregation and what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, man, I was being quiet so that nobody would know what I was actually talking about.
And otherwise, yeah, they might not know
right
about that.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's situations and congregations throughout the brotherhood that we are not privy to. Now, it's a different thing if a brother or an eldership comes out and says, we are going to fully embrace error, you know, and they lay it out and they explain the reasons. We have studied again and studied further, and now we accept error with whatever it might be. Then, of course, we're going to rebuke that, and it was done in public. It's going to be rebuked in public, right?
Yeah.
But if it's in private, it's something that is being worked out, and maybe there is a element of that congregation that's striving for the truth and striving to make things right and be right in the eyes of God. Well, we need not to spread that among the brethren and just intentionally cause harm, right?
Yeah. It's funny about this too. I'm just relating this to preaching, and maybe brethren don't even realize this, but I don't know everything that goes on in the congregation. The elders usually know a whole lot more mm-hmm. than I do. I find out things about the elders before the elders do, but they find out everything else before I do, you know. And so, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. Not good, you know, sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it's great that, like, you know, I don't know anything. But I have had people come up and just expect that I know things. And I'm like, no, I didn't know that, you know. Because, you know, what the elders are supposed to be doing is, you know, keeping some of that to themselves. Like, you're only at liberty to know things when you need to know.
Right.
You know, if you don't need to know, you're not told anything, you know.
And I like what you said there about this. It's the idea that all of us are operating with partial knowledge when it comes to every situation around.
Yeah.
And I say that oftentimes. I think that every good sound preacher makes it a habit of praising his elders publicly and building them up. You also do it privately in conversation. You can be encouraging, but also before the brethren, you need to be able to build them up and to show their concern. Every time I preach about the eldership, I talk about how there are situations that they know of that you have no idea, that I don't even know of, that they are dealing with, that they're working with, and it's not important for us to know. So before we throw an accusation out and speak in a gossiping manner, in a slanderous manner, we need to check ourselves. And that applies to everybody, but I think it happens most often to elders. It happens to preachers too, I know that.
Yeah.
And we have to have that same conversation. But if we model that behavior in the way that we speak about elders and the way that we speak about the Lord's disdain for slander, well, other folks are going to, or they're going to check their lips before they reveal secrets that are unnecessary for the building up of the body.
Yeah. Did you have anything else in this section, or you want to go on to the next?
No, we can move on.
Okay. So the next section is a gossip, whispers, or murmurs.
Right.
What do you have on that?
You know, picking up on what we just talked about with elders, it's a natural transition to think about that. Murmuring is this idea of a quiet slander that comes out at a person, as revealed in 2 Corinthians 12 and 20. And it's one of those things that is warned against in that book. We see it most, or probably your mind might go to this, and I know mine does, in the period of the Exodus, that as during that time of wilderness wanderings, the children of Israel, they were brought out through wondrous, miraculous signs. God delivered them from their enemy and made it possible for them to leave the land of slavery. But in the interim, there was a great problem with murmuring, complaining against the God-given designated leaders that he had provided in Moses and Aaron. And it reached to a point where it hurt them greatly. Well, the same is true in the Lord's church. We have God-given, ordained leaders in the body of Christ, and those being our elders that serve with that authority, that have those issues. Sometimes we complain against them, we murmur against them. We don't like the time that the assembly is. We don't like the color of the carpet. I say that all the time with regard to it, to show the silliness of things that people get mad about in our brotherhood that we can fix when we stop and we think about, am I murmuring or am I making constructive criticism, or am I even speaking to the leadership and saying, hey, this is what I thought, and they'll hear you.
Yeah.
The thing is, sometimes we build up and we say, we build up the eldership to things that they aren't, and we say, oh, they're unapproachable. Not that they're not above reproach, right? But without reproach, but that they're unapproachable and we can't talk to them about anything. They won't listen to us. Maybe that's the case in some congregations, mm-hmm. but not in the righteous congregations that the Lord wants. We need elders that are approachable, that know the flock, because that's who they're shepherding. They're tending to us and making sure that we are okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I kind of think about this in regards to, you know, this whole topic of gossip. This is just unnecessary stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've gotten complaints from people, and they'll nitpick stuff. You know, they don't like something, so they'll nitpick everything. And they'll go and tell the elders, you know what? Every time you do that, you just show what you are, you mm-hmm. know? You are a profane person. Like, you don't know the importance of things when you do that. You know, you're being a baby is what you're doing. Because, like, if it doesn't have substance to it, you know, I don't like the way he parks versus he's teaching false doctrine. You see which one's more weighty, right? You know, yeah. And that's where we get to with some of this stuff. Is some of this stuff is just so, I just guess we should say dumb. You know, it's just so nitpicky and worthless to even mention. Yeah. And yet people just want to bring it up.
And it's not without it's not without consequence for further down the road,
right?
And that's what we talk about in the following sections. That, you know, a gossip, someone that gossips invites others into their sin.
Yeah,
You might be just enjoying your day, walking in the light, right? As First John would say, well, you would be enjoying your day, you would be walking faithfully, seeing how you could serve God, and then someone comes around with the juiciest gossip. Maybe, like I said, unintentional. Mm-hmm. But they may come with it nonetheless, and they invite you to give in to it. And if you give them the time, and you listen to it, and you partake it in, and they invite you to talk further about, you might get yourself into that as well. So it is, sin is contagious often.
Oh, yeah.
And that is something that has to be avoided. And we call this sometimes, we talked about this before we started recording, the idea of venting. Yeah. Right, and say what you were saying about the idea of venting earlier. That was really remarkable.
Yeah, you know, get ready to be angry with me, because this makes so many people angry. So mm-hmm. like, it's okay.
Didn't make me angry.
Yeah, but I've had a lot of people get upset when I tell people this. But you know, I've got some background in psychology, and you know, I've done some study in graduate level courses, and so. I came across this study on venting. Changed my mindset on it altogether. I'll have to locate it again to find it. But there are other things. This wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. The conclusion of the study was venting doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. You know what it does? It makes things worse. Because what you do is all you do is you relive those emotions again, mm-hmm. and you don't get over them. You know, like if we're talking about this, I'm venting to Ryan, and he listens to me, and that's just it. I'm just kind of getting stuff off my chest to him, you know, and it doesn't do anything. But I just relive those emotions over and over again, and guess what actually happens? You know, if I'm angry already about something, I get angrier. Mm-hmm. Now, if we have a discussion, so let's say I bring something up and I'm talking to Ryan, and Ryan says, you know, have you thought about this, or have you tried this, or, you know, then we start working out a solution. Or maybe even like this, you know, this was an example I gave earlier to before we started recording, is that if I'm talking to my wife and she's doing something that I don't like and I need to get something off my chest, you know, I'm not venting to her. Actually, what I'm doing is saying, look, this really bothers me. And I really would like for you to change this, whatever is going on. Now, you know, whatever, you know, go with that one gently, however you're going to do that. But anyway, right. If I'm doing that with my wife, that is working toward a solution. I'm mm-hmm. not just saying bad things. I'm not just venting, you know. So venting just doesn't work. So if you are explaining something, looking for a solution, that works. If you're just talking about something and reliving that experience just to tell it to somebody else, it only makes things worse. And so I know people will, this is where people get upset. They go, well, I vent, and I'm, you know, and then they make things up. Right. And listen, if you want to call venting something that you do and you're working out a solution, that's fine. The whole point is, if you're not working out a solution, then you're making things worse. That's the whole point.
Yeah, there's a proper way to do it and an improper way to do it. Right. And oftentimes it's the improper that we focus on, and we will, misery loves company, right? That's the saying. You know, anyone that will hear our aggression, that will hear our grievance, maybe they will take part in our grievance, and what does that do? It leads another into sin, right? So it's contagious. And you know, there's the proper way is to speak to a confidant, to speak to someone that to look for the solution. I'm not seeing it here. This is my frustration with this scenario. And sometimes, and also, it's a good behavior to be as vague as possible.
Yeah.
It's not necessary to tell names of everyone that has irritated you or everyone that has done you wrong, right? By your standards, it would be better to keep those privately. And maybe the person that you're talking to, especially, you know, your spouse would be proper for that, because that's your closest relationship, your own flesh, that you can, who knows you the best and knows your weaknesses, right? Knows that you may get really caught up on this and it might not be a big deal. Mm-hmm. And they'll point that out to you.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly. Or they may say, well, I know that you typically don't get bothered by these things. I can see where that's an issue, and maybe this is what you should do. And they can also talk you down from, you know, being furtherly enraged and letting, what is it? Is it be angry? Right? We can be angry. We can be emotionally charged about a situation, but we can't let it lead to sin. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
we protect ourselves and guard ourselves from sin.
Well, one more thing about this that you know, I was thinking about, and I've heard this from, you know, my father-in-law, who's a preacher. He's had to talk to people about this, and I don't know if this is something he said multiple times, but he told me he talked to someone one time and used this at least once here. But somebody kept saying, "Oh, well, you know, I'm hearing this from people, and like helping, like people are telling me this stuff, and I'm telling you, and of course, you know." My father-in-law was like, well, I don't really want to hear that. Like, it'd be nice if I just didn't know that. And nothing I can do about those things. They're not coming to me and talking to me. But just be best if I didn't know. And this kept happening. And finally, he said, why are you letting people treat you as a trash can? Mm. Like, why are you allowing that? You know, that they're just going to come and give you your trash. And you're just going to open up and take it all in.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, that's what you're doing when you're allowing for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and what it comes down to is, as we talk about later, is that it comes down to self-control, and we have to check our motives. And purity must be our motives. And whoever that we're talking about, individuals will often bring information before the elders for the sake of the flock. They may say, hey, I'm seeing this. This is something that you might not be aware of. This is not gossip. And if we follow along, if it's a personal sin that goes and corresponds with Matthew 18, if that goes through in the right way, there's nothing wrong with that. We must speak truthfully, and we must check our motivations in whatever information that we are delivering. Once again, if it is something of a public nature, no, we can point out error, and we must point out error when that comes. So please do not get this twisted to think that you can't say anything or you can say too much. The path of the New Testament Christian is somewhere there in the middle that aligns with what God intends for us. Now, we had a couple of questions there at the end, and let's think about that. How can we keep ourselves from gossiping? Well, I think that we don't provide an audience, like you said. Like, don't be a trash can. Don't be one. Point them towards the right way to handle these things.
Yeah.
We need to be respectful of our leaders and not make it a habit of just murmuring. You know, this is so common in the world. no matter who, what your political preference is, every 4 years, if it changes, one group's going to say, not my president, the other group's going to say, not my president, and then complain about the other when they say that. So we have to move ourselves above that and remember there is a standard, and not gossip, not complain, not slander people for what it is. What else you got, Matt?
You know, I was just kind of thinking along the lines of, like, you know, the idea of what isn't gossip. And, you know, there are times when you're going to have to, you know, follow the whole Matthew 18 thing and go to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have to bring it before the church. You know, if that's, you know, getting up and telling everybody in the congregation something's going on, or telling the elders, however that happens. You're bringing it before the church. You're gonna have to tell somebody. That's not gossip. You know, that's not you're helping. You're going back to that whole pure motives thing. You're helping out.
And we have to designate it is this a sin? Not a perceived slight, because we often can get offended over little things and things that we don't even completely understand, right? Or maybe we don't understand the circumstances going. Is this a sin against me? If it is, go and show, right? That's what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that in another episode as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a nice discussion here for the topic of gossip. Next time, we'll be talking about modesty. And I hope you'll tune in for that one. That's a good study for today. Our society has a big problem with that. We're not going to give you our opinion. We're just going to give you what the Bible says. And so looking forward to that, just kind of like what we've done today. You know, we've got a lot of information here on gossip. We're not giving you our opinion. We're just talking more about what the scriptures say and applying it. And so we hope that you tune in next time for another episode of Ironworks on Scatterbroad.